Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a phone called OnePlus 6T, which is not OnePlus 6.0, it is actually OnePlus 6 and then the alphabet T, for those of you who are listening in and wondering what is going on here. This phone is, well, now placed firmly between the flagship phones that we have, which are like north of 60,000 rupees, and the mid-range ones, which are like slowly inching into flagship territory with each passing year, such as the Poco F1. So the OnePlus 6T will take its place as the second phone that OnePlus has launched in 2018. The company has been doing this for a few years now, starting with the OnePlus 3T. And now we have the phone with us. We've done most of our testing with it. Our review is almost ready to go live. As far as, you know, the testing and everything is concerned. So we have the person who's reviewed it, Jamshed Dawari, with us to talk about this phone.
Heyo.
And we also have a person who reviewed a phone that the OnePlus 6T may have taken some inspiration from, the Vivo X21, Aditya Shenoy.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So, first things first, why is the OnePlus 6T a thing? Like, what's new in this phone? What's, you know, different from the OnePlus 6, which was launched just a couple of months ago? I mean, a few months ago.
Yeah, I mean, that phone came out less than 6 months ago. There's not a lot that's new, but OnePlus likes to keep up with the latest trends, as it were, and deal with its competition by basically coming up with something fresh as often as it can. And this is a company that says that it doesn't believe in yearly cycles. It just believes in pushing out the best thing as soon as it's able to. So what we have really boils down to the one headlining feature, which is the fingerprint sensor integrated into the glass of the display. And we have a water drop shaped notch instead of a blocky notch, which is also something that's become popular recently. And the screen is slightly bigger and the battery is slightly bigger. And then other than that, there's a few notable things that are worse. That's subjective, but a few things that have been taken away. Most notably the 3.5mm audio socket, which is sure to upset a lot of people, and the notification LED, which again has its own loyalists within the OnePlus community.
Yeah, so one of the problems of having this teardrop-shaped notch is that there's like a tiny speaker grill type thing right above the camera, and like, does it make phone calls more difficult or like, you know, does it create any problems for that?
No, not necessarily. Like, this is a fairly large phone. We've seen phones that have this physical dimension for a while now. It's roughly the size of an iPhone 8 Plus, for example, though the screen is much larger. But they're difficult to hold and use anyway. That's, you know, as a larger thing. It's not just that head, the earpiece that contributes significantly to that being a problem. I think these are phones that are not really designed to be used for phone calls primarily. They're just more of your personal computer that does everything else that you want it to do.
Okay. So what I also noticed is that, you know, while they have removed the headphone jack, the microphone that was there like as a tiny little dot on the OnePlus 6 now seems to be integrated in the speaker grill, because I definitely can't spot it.
So there are two large grills on the bottom, but only one of them is a speaker. This is one of the only high-end phones that we have now with only a single mono speaker. Even the earpiece does not double up or give you any kind of stereo effect, or like we've seen other phones do, a separate woofer almost with one speaker and a separate standard speaker with the earpiece. But no, that's not the case here.
Okay, so anything different in terms of specifications from the OnePlus 6? I know it uses the same Qualcomm Snapdragon 845 chip.
It's the same processor, the same cameras. The battery is slightly larger, 3700 mAh compared to 3300. And the only real thing to note here is that there's no 64GB storage version anymore. Oh. The base variant has 128 gigs of storage and 6 gigs of RAM.
Okay, so
that is interesting. Yeah. I think the reason for them to remove the 3.5mm headphone jack is also that they are coming up probably with Type-C headphones.
I don't know about
in
that.
In a way for them to push it there, like, you know, so that people actually go ahead and buy it. See, because I don't see a reason for getting the 3.5mm headphone jack out, because even on the OnePlus 6, they did boast that, you know, okay, we are one of the few flagship phones that still retains the 3.5mm headphone jack. And with this iteration, they just chucked it out. So I don't see why.
What you said about the headphones, that might be a bit of a chicken and egg situation. I don't know whether you can really say one is the cause of the other. But what this company has said for the longest time is that people value having that 3.5mm headphone socket. And, you know, they made a little light fun of Apple, as they tend to do. They also cited their own community and, you know, CEO Pete Lau himself, I think, had put up a couple of blog posts and things like that talking about it, because they engage with their fans and community a lot. But what they've said now is that they've reached a tipping point where more than 50% of their users already have some kind of wireless audio thing, and that they took the decision because it prioritized being able to fit in a larger battery and being able to fit in the hardware for the fingerprint sensor integrated into the screen. Now, how far that is true and how far that is just PR spin, we can't really say. But this is their line of thought right now.
Yeah, so OnePlus is very good at doing this PR spin right before any big launch. Now, we already saw this with the OnePlus 6 launch as well. Some of the things that they've done is, like, right ahead of the launch, they'll give an interview to one of these publications in the tech world, and they'll start justifying some of the decisions they've taken, which may prove to be unpopular.
The notch was the first one, you know, for the 6.
So OnePlus has been, I mean, not leaking, but publicizing a lot of information. They confirmed a lot of things. They posted camera samples. They've talked about the fingerprint sensor and the notch and various things in the lead up to the launch. So yeah, this is a company that sort of, I think, decided to forego the element of surprise and basically get the outrage and indignation out of the way.
All right, so no fingerprint sensor. How do you feel about it? Aditya, do you want to talk about it first?
The fingerprint sensor on OnePlus 6 phones have always been really fast. So I remember when I was using the OnePlus 6, even the OnePlus 5, it was very quick to unlock. Now, the thing with in-display fingerprint scanners is that there is a bit of a lag, because the device has to wake the screen up, wait for it to the CMOS sensor underneath to scan the fingerprint, match it, and then unlock. So it is slightly slower compared to a conventional fingerprint sensor. So for that reason, I'm not a big fan of the switch to an in-display fingerprint.
Also, is it like limited to a certain portion on the screen only, or can you place your finger?
It's like a tiny dot. You have to get your finger on it, otherwise it won't.
Yeah, so the screen lights up with a little guide, as it were, but without the physical delineation of a fingerprint sensor. Most of them have some kind of a border, or they're sunken slightly, so you can just find it and your finger tends to rest in it the same way each time. So over here, you're gonna have to, you know, stab around a little bit and try to sort of, you know, touch the tip of your finger or the pad of your finger, or just it's a bit of a mess trying to make it work.
And one other thing I noticed was that on say any phone with a fingerprint scanner, you can just place your finger on it and it'll light the device up, wake the device up. Here you have to wake the device up first and then place your finger on it, just so that the display is
so active. That was one immediate stumbling block. But if you think about it, you know, a lot of phones with a fingerprint sensor on the back, you kind of have to pick them up anyway. If that's what you want to do, or you're hitting the power button or something. What you can do over here is set up a couple of gestures so that when you lift the screen, the phone comes up out of standby, so that arms the sensor. Or you can set a gesture where you tap the screen and it wakes up, and the same thing. And there's also this ambient display feature, which, you know, if you have that active, then the fingerprint sensor will be active.
Yeah, so I just, like, while you were talking, I just tried that feature out. I mean, it's obviously configured to your fingerprint, so I couldn't unlock the phone. But if the phone is just lying on the table and the screen is off and you tap that place where the fingerprint sensor is supposed to be, nothing really happens. Like,
it, yeah, you can just, like, knock anywhere on the screen and it'll wake it from scratch. Just knock it as if you're knocking a table.
So it's a two-step process. It's not a one-step process. Like,
again, you could argue that that's somewhat similar to what happens with the phones that have the fingerprint sensor on the back, which is a bit of a stumbling block, you know, for them initially. But more than that, it's the lag that you feel. It's the inability to, you know, just casually do it with a movement that becomes sort of second nature to you. You have to concentrate. You have to actively pay attention to how you're doing it. So a little bit of trivia, actually, that has been circulating online, but not a lot of people know this, is that OnePlus actually created prototypes of the OnePlus 5T with in-display fingerprint sensors. Back when it was first experimenting with 18:9 screens and making them larger and knocking the sensor off from the front of the phone. So they said at that time that they could have done it just to be the first in the world, and they could have done a special edition if they wanted to, but they did not think that it was mature enough. And now they've reached a threshold where the sensor will react in 0.36 seconds. And while that might be the best case scenario, honestly, with a week or so of using this phone, that's not been the case. It's taken 3, 4, 5 seconds sometimes. It's failed repeatedly. It's just, to me, it's not an upgrade.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like something that's new and better, and that it doesn't feel like an improvement.
Aditya, is this like similar to your experience with the Vivo X21?
So the Vivo X21, while I was using it, the first thing I kind of noticed was that on other phones with a fingerprint scanner, if I have the phone in the pocket, by the time I get the phone right in front of my face, my finger is already on the scanner and it's unlocked. With the Vivo X21, because it had a particular dot like area on the screen which only it kind of scans your finger, so I had to look at the phone and then place my finger there, so it took longer to unlock as well. And the X21 actually had a very good face unlock feature, which I had also enabled. So before I could even place my finger on the dot, the phone would
that straight happens unlock. Here as well. Yeah. And in fact, it recognizes your face from pretty far away at arm's length, or sometimes even if it's on a table, you know, that angle, if you're just looking down at your phone and it's on a table, even looking at it at that angle is enough to trigger the face unlock. And I thought that might be a sign that it's not very secure, so I tried unlocking this phone with photos of myself. So far, that has not triggered it. That has not been an issue.
Yeah, so another thing I've, like, based on whatever you said, I've noticed is that this seems like a phone, like normally we usually say that, okay, the 5T was the better phone. You know, in general, you would get much more for what you're paying for. It was a safe phone to go. But in this case, it seems like the 6T was like more risky in terms of design decisions they've made. Like, I can't understand why, like between these two phones, why they would, for example, remove the fingerprint scanner from the back when it was just working perfectly fine. And the headphone jack, at least you can say, all right, maybe, you know, they're trying to maximize the screen space, like the display. So maybe some of that, whatever, like you can notice between these two phones, the chin is also smaller on the OnePlus 6T.
Very slightly, but yes,
yeah.
It is.
So maybe, you know, you can excuse it saying that, okay, they were trying to maximize the screen space and that's why maybe they had to take it out. Or maybe they were trying to follow industry trends right now, whatever you want to, like however you want to justify it. But I seriously can't understand why they would remove the fingerprint scanner from the back, which was working perfectly fine and was really fast. You know,
and
put
that
this
too
thing
so quickly after the launch of the OnePlus 6.
Yeah, exactly. So why didn't they maybe, you know, wait until the product was ready? Vivo has launched this earlier. I know Vivo and Oppo and OnePlus are all part of the same company. Vivo has launched this earlier. We have seen that this product is far from ready. Like, this technology is not as fast as it could be.
So that's exactly what I was going to point out right now. We've made a lot of comparisons with Oppo and Vivo. These are the companies that do the water drop notch and the in-display fingerprint sensor. Others are getting there, but these are the main players with those features in the market right now. And they're all part of a conglomerate called BBK Electronics. So I think what we might have to look at, and now in the past, we've tried to ask OnePlus about the nature of its relationship with Oppo and Vivo when it comes to the fact that its physical designs are very, very similar and they use the same manufacturing capabilities and they share a lot of features like VOOC and Dash Charge, which are
interchangeable, pretty much
interchangeable. So there is a lot of interaction behind the scenes that the companies might not necessarily want us to know for, you know, whatever reason they have. But even if you look at this phone, the OnePlus 6T, there's an undeniable resemblance to the Oppo R17X or R17 Pro. There's a model by that name that basically could be the template for this phone, as we've seen before. So, you know, there are a lot of factors into why OnePlus might have launched this phone at this time that honestly we don't have a good answer to.
Yeah, and if you look at, you know, the hardware that is in there, it's pretty much similar to the OnePlus 6. If you look at the two phones, the OnePlus 6 is now cheaper in the sense that it went on discount.
Well, the OnePlus 6 is now unavailable.
That is also
it's completely out of stock on the OnePlus website. And Amazon still has a few models, but they show like one unit left in stock, two units left in stock.
Yeah, but I'm guessing that they don't discontinue like phones that soon, right? Normally,
They do. Officially, they do. There might be stock floating around in various channels, but officially they do. And they've done it before every time.
So if I'm getting you correct, soon as the OnePlus 6T is available for everyone, officially the OnePlus 6 will stop selling?
You could pretty much say that it's officially stopped selling already.
Wow. So then
That's kind of sad, Premier, because they could have, like, it's a good phone. The 6 itself is a good phone. They could have probably dropped the price on it to compete with the 5G or the Poco F1 and keep the 6T as a premium offering, wherein people who want to try out the new in-display fingerprint scanner, they can go and try that. So that could have been possible, I guess.
Yeah, but again, we've said this in terms, you know, in cases when there have been generational leaps, like a different processor or a completely different type of screen or something like that, it would make sense to keep the previous model available at a lower price. But in this case, I don't see that they could reduce the bill of materials on the OnePlus 6. You know, I don't think they could reduce their manufacturing cost in order to offer it at a lower price. I don't think the two would coexist except as peers. And that's never good when you're trying to promote one model as your new flagship or halo product. I do see what you mean in that they're roughly equivalent. But I don't think any company would offer two different but equivalent products at exactly the same price.
No, I was saying like if the 6 could go lower on price.
Yeah. But I don't think they will. I don't think they would be able to. And they've had many other opportunities to do that when it would have made a lot more sense, and they haven't. Although when I did meet both co-founders, Carl and Pete, side by side at the OnePlus 5T launch, they left that door open. They said that they might just do something like that. But they did not.
As of now, nothing, right? But if you look at the phones that you mentioned earlier, Aditya, which is the Zenfone 5Z, and the Poco F1. I think maybe you are missing out on the camera that the OnePlus 6 has, but beyond that, in terms of hardware and all, like, it is pretty close by.
Yeah, in terms of camera also, when the OnePlus 6 was launched, it wasn't as good as the Zenfone 5Z. The Zenfone 5Z, when we did a comparison, the 5Z was better. But after an update, see, because the camera thing, currently it's purely updates that are, you know, changing the output that the cameras can offer. Like the Pixel 2 XL, for example, a last year smartphone with night sight available on it. The low light photography is completely changed and it's a near old phone. So that's, you know, that is what OnePlus did with the 6. They, with an Oxygen OS update, they kind of fixed the camera, improved it slightly. But the 5Z still has, you know, a good display. It also has a color temperature sensor, which helps when you're clicking macros or even to set the temperature of the screen based on the ambient light around you. So that is kind of interesting at that price.
Okay. So Poco F1 would be like a good option for people still.
The Poco F1 is ridiculously affordable in comparison to the 5Z. The 5Z is currently at 24999 with the festive pricing going on. But the F1 is still cheaper. And the cameras is where it's compromised. You know, that's a compromise.
And cameras. What about the availability of the Poco F1
right
now?
What you can do is the 24,000 rupee model for the Poco F1, which is the 8GB 128, that is fairly available easily. The 21,000 rupee one with
this is something that even I have noticed, that the cheapest variant is almost never in stock. It, like, even if the flash sale has begun right now, it'll go out of stock immediately.
The higher,
but the more expensive variants are available, even like half an hour, 45 minutes.
But then those cheap variants do help get people in the door, and then they're more likely to leave with a higher priced one.
So
there is some strategy at play there.
Yeah, so I'm actually quite upset with what OnePlus has done here, in the sense that, you know, I'm not actually crying, but it doesn't look like the best decision for people out there, because I first of all don't like the look of this dewdrop notch at all.
It is distracting. There's no way to, you know, I mean, you can mask it if you want. You can have a black band that runs across the top, and your clock and system icons will be displayed within that same space, and they'll be just, you know, visually separated from the rectangle of the screen. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that either.
Yeah, and then, you know, lots of people liked this phone because the headphone jack was still around. So that's gone. The fingerprint sensor is basically a prototype. So you're paying more to test out a technology that is definitely not ready for the, you know, mass market.
I wouldn't say it's not ready, but it is a different experience. There's a lot of people who might gravitate towards it because it looks cool and there is a very cool animation on the screen. So, and you see it demonstrated when you want to show your phone off to somebody. This is something that is very, very, very effective.
No, agree. But I would say that, you know, if someone wants the in-display fingerprint scanner only, like, why do you want to go for a OnePlus? Then you have the Vivo V11 Pro, which is around 25,000 rupees. You have the Vivo X21 as well. Like, purely for the in-display thing. Because I know that, okay, these Vivo phones will have underpowered processors in comparison. But if it is only the in-display fingerprint scanner that you want, it is available at a cheaper price.
Yeah, I mean, the cheaper price being, I think the lowest we saw was something like 29,000. Yeah. Yeah.
No, 25 or 26 for the V11 Pro.
V11 Pro. So recently for the X21 was, I think, 29,000, yeah, right? So it's still like at that price, you could get much better hardware via the Zenfone 5Z.
Absolutely. And but I'm saying purely if it's the in-display.
Yeah, if you just want
to
show off.
You won't, you won't have to spend a lot.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but by and large, I still am not like in agreement with the fact that you should pay this much to basically use technology that is inferior in terms of performance.
And there's one other issue I've seen with phones with the water drop notch. Is that the sensors have been moved to the right of the notch, which means that your aftermarket screen protectors or even won't fit in easily because you need to have a specific cut.
Oh, so that's actually a good point because over here, the main thing to know about screen protectors is that they are not guaranteed to work with the fingerprint sensor. Okay. Obviously, there's, you know, there's more hardware than usual underneath the surface of the glass over here. So the OnePlus 6T comes with official OnePlus screen protector pre-applied.
Okay.
This is also something that I am personally not a huge fan of.
Seriously, they pre-apply it?
It's right there. Have a look.
Wow. Yeah.
So what that does is create an extra border on the front and it immediately tends to pick up a little dust. You know, it'll get stuck on the edges over there because it is adhesive.
And there are also some scratches on this plastic. Which make the display look really bad.
Than that, it seems to have a weird pattern
right
to
on it.
Like so if you look at it, it's not visible when the screen is lit up. It doesn't distract from movies or anything that's playing on the screen.
But screen switched off,
you can see it. It has this sort of... It looks... The best way that I can describe it is it looks like oil in a puddle. That
kerosene
kind of
effect,
pattern that
like,
you get, except in straight crosshatch lines.
Yeah, so I'm definitely not a fan of the design and all. But anyway,
So overall, this seems like a very underwhelming exercise upgrade. For OnePlus. It's not just the least interesting and compelling changes for one model to the next in terms of hardware. But it also comes at a time when OnePlus is sort of besieged by competition that it has not had before.
Yeah, indeed. So, do you guys think that, you know, it's much better to go with the Zenfone 5Z or like spend a little more and get something that offers a much better experience overall? Or do you still think that OnePlus 6T has a market?
It's difficult to say. Because if you want the latest and the best, if you want Oxygen OS and if you want OnePlus's numerous customizations and let's not underestimate the power of the community that they have, which, you know, fills up stadiums whenever they do these launch events. They can actually sell tickets to a launch event and have that many fans come in. So this company definitely has people who will want its products. How that will change and whether all the people who rush out and buy the latest one every time just because it is will see the need to do that this time, I don't know. I think that there'll be some interesting attitudes and opinions that come to light there.
Yeah. So
but,
I think...
I wouldn't rule it out completely. I wouldn't say that the Zenfone 5Z is... you know, just universally better. It comes down to a lot of personal preference a lot of the time. And OnePlus as a brand in smartphones might have come out of nowhere, but it's fairly established now. Whereas Asus is, I think, still, you know, trying to build its reputation and recognition.
Yeah. So since you mentioned that, I mean, one area where the Zenfone 5Z wins easily is the price.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, OnePlus will have to look at in the coming months and years because, you know, as you said, the competition is now far closer to it than before. And
yeah. I mean, there's not just competition below where you come from the Zenfone 5Z and the Poco F1. But also, as you mentioned, Aditya, there's the Pixel 3 XL at a new reduced price of
46,000.
Yeah, and with the new camera improvements that it's going to get, with the guarantee pretty much of Android updates.
Yeah, there's also that LG G7 thing that everyone, you know, just like forgets about.
It's a G7 Plus thing, actually.
Yeah. And LG's V series, let's not forget about.
So that's there as well.
Which
so
gives you pretty good cameras and...
And military-grade protection as well, IP68.
Yeah, so one thing that OnePlus hasn't done as far as its OnePlus killer competition goes is just have that waterproofing. There is Gorilla Glass 6, which is interesting. That should give you some level of reassurance. But overall sturdiness is not at quite the level that the true flagships still offer.
So OnePlus has just announced the price of the OnePlus 6T in India. So the prices are 37,999 rupees for the 6GB RAM, 128GB storage variant. 8GB RAM, 128GB storage variant goes at 41,999 rupees. And finally, the top end variant is the 8GB RAM, 256GB storage. And that's at 45,999 rupees. So thoughts on the price? Is it good value for money according to you?
Yeah, I would call this good value for money. I'm actually pleasantly surprised because I expected higher starting prices given the slide in the rupee against the dollar in the past few months. But I think OnePlus has kept things largely under control. Now, they could have gone super competitive because there are new companies like Asus with the Zenfone 5Z and Xiaomi with a Poco F1 that are putting a little pressure on OnePlus at this flagship killer price point that it has enjoyed great success with. But we've also seen prices rise and you now get 128GB of storage with the base model. So I think these prices are pretty fair.
Yeah, and in terms of like specifications that it offers and you know what you get in terms of the polished software experience, overall do you think this would, you know, maybe demand that much more than such a phone such as the LG G7 Plus Think or the Asus Zenfone 5Z?
Yeah, I think a lot of that will come down to personal preference now. You can check out the reviews of all these phones at gadgets360.com and you can see the photo samples that we've taken if that will help you make a buying decision. But OnePlus does have a lot of fans and that's largely due to its community and that's also based a lot around software. Now, Oxygen OS, which is OnePlus's custom skin, has a lot of user input and feedback that has gone into it. So yeah, I think there are a lot of people who are very interested in that. You get Android 9 Pie right out of the box. You get a lot of customized features and there's not a lot of visual or performance bloat as there is with some of the other Chinese brands. So I think that's one thing that this company definitely does have going for it.
All right. And your thoughts on the fact that it does not have some of the features that we've seen with flagships, such as an IP rating and wireless charging. You think these are important enough?
Well, if you look at the pricing of the OnePlus 6T, it is still way, way, way below the level that you'd have to pay for an iPhone XR or XS or the latest Pixel 3 series or even Samsung's current Galaxy S9 and Galaxy Note 9 series. So if that is your frame of reference, then we can't really fault the lack of these features. That said, these are things that are very convenient to some people and they're becoming, you know, just part of your lifestyle almost. It's not to do with raw performance or gaming or photo quality, but it has to do with the way you treat your phone, the way you, you know, place it to rest, the way you go about your day having this much power, or, you know, you just leave it on a pad to charge, or you don't have to worry about it dropping or getting splashed in the pool. I think things like that are important to some people, but you get what you pay for. Yeah, thanks for tuning in, everyone. And do make sure to check out our full review at gadgets360.com, where we'll talk about all the features, all the specifications, the fingerprint sensor, the notch, the build quality, the cameras, and of course, the software and everything else that there is about the brand new OnePlus 6T.
All right, then. I think that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And you can also send us an email at podcast@gadgets360.com. If you're one of these tech-savvy people who use apps to listen to podcasts, then please rate us on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. Your ratings, your reviews, your subscriptions, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.